1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
We continue our conversation with Coach Vernon Dozier about how, you know, we see more and more parents getting involved and interfering in kids' sports.
Phil, the thing to remember is that football is a great sport for a lot of reasons.
Right, but the interference of parents?
Well, the main reason that football is a great game is that there are layers of the competition, which I'm leading up to what to your question. I coach Pee Wee football, and we love playing the game, and the injuries, too, are part of the game. You see a kid go down with a head injury or a neck injury, and the fans enjoy wondering whether he's going to come back onto the game. Is it serious enough to require an ambulance? Or it's something that non-fans don't understand.
And when you say non-fans?
Well, you know the ones I'm talking about, these mothers who haven't got a clue as to how this game is played. You know, they take their kids out here to play Pee Wee football. It's a commitment. You run the ball, you pass the ball, you tackle, you block. You take a cleat to the face, you take a cleat into your eye, you clothesline, and then I have to listen to some mother complain. But it's too late.
And when you say it's too late, you're talking about this commitment, aren't you?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is a commitment to the team and to yourself.
And so the mother can't come to you and take the kid off of the team?
A lot of these hysterical mothers will try and do that. But we go to the door, we explain how it is. If the kid doesn't come out for the game or practice, we explain to the mother that there's certain pressures that can be brought to bear. No, the kid's going to play. I don't let any kid quit. I don't let any kid quit football. Injuries are, as a football fan, you know this, Phil. I follow the National Football League. Injuries are an exciting aspect to the game.
But certainly not when it threatens the well-being of the player, when it threatens his ability to play.
Well, but that's the game. That's the game of football. So you have to understand that sometimes a player is going to get a concussion. Sometimes a player is going to have a spinal injury. You wonder, is he going to get up? Is he not? Yesterday, can I make an example? Yesterday we saw...
Yeah, Tommy Maddox.
Absolutely. We saw one of the greatest weekends in NFL history. We had a terrific contest between Pittsburgh and Tennessee. And then you also had the injury to Tommy Maddox, which was a real nail-biter. He was, you know, will he be paralyzed? Will he not? What's going on? You had the great dominance of the Eagles over the Cardinals and the excitement of Donovan McNabb's broken leg. And is he going to come back? Is he going to be crippled? So the fans love this, and we like to talk about it on the sidelines. We love to see a man. You don't want to see a man hurt, but it's exciting to see a man carried off on a ambulance stretcher. You know, what's the word going to be? Total paralysis, partial. Will he come back into the game, be able to throw the ball again? These kinds of things.
But it is a terrible sight. The injury is a terrible sidelight to the game.
Well, but I think you're doing the game a great disservice.
No, but to see those kinds of injuries.
I think you misunderstand the game a little bit, Phil. I've been involved with all kinds of football at a great many levels. I don't know if you call yourself a football fan or not, but the enjoyment of the game...
I'm a big football fan.
All right, well, the enjoyment of the game extends to the injuries as well.
So when a kid on your Pee Wee team gets injured, you explain to the kids...
I don't have to explain to the kids that it's part of the game.
You don't... But the mother... Let's take, for instance, this boy you were talking about. One of the games you had 2 or 3 weeks ago, he had a compound fracture?
That is correct. And he was, I'll tell you his name because he's a tough little sumbitch. His name is William Gradsdy, Billy Gradsdy. And his father, as a matter of fact, is a business partner of mine, and he broke his arm, and the bone was sticking out. And he was screaming and obviously was frightening for the boy, but that's the part of football that's exciting. The bone's sticking out, the fans are going crazy. Is the kid ever going to play again? So they've got a pin in his arm now. Will he play again? We don't know. And the mother of this kid tried to tell me that her son was quitting the team. And I said, well, no, he isn't. And she said, why? I said, because your son, when this season started, made a commitment to me and to 20 other boys, and I will be one son of a bitch if I'm going to let that kid walk off and leave his teammates high and dry. So I told her, and let me tell you something, Phil, when I put my finger into the face of some mother who thinks she's going to let her son walk away from a football team.
But the boy had a compound fracture, the bone sticking out of his arm.
Absolutely, and one of the great joys of playing football is to stand on the sidelines with your teammates with your arm in a cast, your leg in a cast, on your crutches, but you got your game jersey on. There is no bigger thrill in football to stand there. You're injured, but you got your game jersey on with your fellow players. And I said to her, this mother, because Bill's a good friend of mine, but I don't talk to the wife. I said to her, look, you get that kid out there in his jersey and his cast, 10 o'clock in the morning. Pee Wee 1 starts at 11, Pee Wee 2 starts at 2, okay? So we only got the field for 3 hours, and I don't want to see anybody dragging ass. And that's what I love about football. But the mothers, Phil, are beginning to drag the game down a little bit.
Well, the injuries are frightening.
But they're also entertaining. You have to put that in. That's what football fans like.
Well, I've been a football fan my entire life. I've never quite enjoyed seeing injuries, I suppose, as much as some fans. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier's with us. He's the coach of a Pee Wee football team. How old are the kids you coach?
My kids are 8 to 10 years of age.
All right, and if they get injured, if they get hurt, the little boy with the compound fracture, you've had neck injuries, you've had head injuries, you don't let the kids quit.
No, I don't let the mothers. The kids never want to quit. It's the mothers that want to pull them off the field. I don't let these mothers tell me what to do. I don't let a parent tell me how to run my team. Now, if these mothers had any involvement in sports when they were girls, they might, and let me repeat that, they might get a clue. But the boys, they don't want to quit.
Well, it is a parent's responsibility, though, to make sure that their child is not injured. It's a parent.
Then don't have them go out for football. You know, to say it's a parent's responsibility for the child not to get injured and have them go out for football is one of the great oxymorons. If you don't want your kid injured, then take his little, you know, rear end, and you can have him play volleyball, or you can have him play, he can go out for the golf team, you know, or he can go and bowl. This is football. You want your little boy to go play football? Then I'm going to tell you right now, injury is part, and it is part of the fun.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Pee Wee football coach we have with us here is Vernon Dozier. You also coach high school, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. And basically you're saying that you're getting a lot of pushback from mothers who want their kids to quit the team after they get injured. And perhaps that's not right, but when a kid gets a compound fracture, I mean a bone sticking out of the skin, or he tears ligaments, or in the case yesterday, Tommy Maddox of the National Football League, who was paralyzed.
Well, let me get Stan Humphries, one of my favorite players. Stan Humphries absorbed 5 concussions 1 year playing for the San Diego Chargers. It was thrilling to watch him get week in and week out and literally try to find his way to the bench. It was exciting to see him, and people would try to lead him to the bench, and he'd say, no, I'll do it myself. And he would walk over to the opposing bench. He would walk into the stands. Stan was one hell of a football player and one hell of a man. And I don't think a lot of us will ever forget him for that. But I am considering banning mothers from watching the games.
All right, that's the controversial portion of this, because you have a lot of mothers out there that want to come watch their kids play. Now, you let the fathers watch.
Well, I have to let, because the mothers, they continue to baby these kids during the game if they get hurt. It ruins the psyche for the boys and the fans. And the little boy's got to have his mommy come down from the stands and, you know, mollycoddle the boy. And I have to chase more than one mother off the sideline. I've chased probably over the course of 5 years, I've chased, I don't know, 50, 60 women off the sideline. I said, yeah, you get up there. And
These are their children.
No, I understand they're the children. After the game, they can talk to them. They can powder their rear ends, put a diaper on them. But while they're on the sideline, they're mine. And when the mommy comes down, I say, hey, mom, back up to the stands.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us here. 1-800-449-8686. Football. And one of the great exciting aspects of football are many of the great injuries that we see. Paralysis. You don't want to see a man get paralyzed for life.
Well, no, you don't, Phil, but I got to tell you something. That hit that Jack Tatum put on Daryl Stingley back in the 70s that paralyzed Daryl for the rest of his life. I know that Daryl doesn't want to be in a wheelchair, but I know that when he thinks about the thrill that gave the rest of us, seeing Tatum come up and clothesline him, running at full speed, I'm sure that helps Daryl live with the paralysis from the neck down that he has to this day.
I don't know how you can speak for him.
Believe me, I played football.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joanne, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a comment for the gentleman that's on here. I didn't even catch his name, but he's just...
I'm sorry,
really
my name is Vernon Dozier. I coach...
Well, he coaches high school at football and...
Pee Wee.
And Pee Wee football.
Where does he coach?
In Southern California.
Southern California. And I'm just shocked. I'm an emergency room nurse. I am a mother. My ex-husband was recruited to play football, and I have played sports in the past. I played basketball.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can tell you that you probably are being serious when you say that you enjoy seeing people get hurt. That's part of the game.
Oh, it is part of the game. It's part of it.
You should speak to just for yourself, Mr. Dozier, because other people do not enjoy seeing that.
I don't know if you're a football fan, but I am, and I've been around football my entire life. I've played the game, and I've coached the game. Fans love to see good, clean injury.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Well, okay, I'm talking to a woman, Phil, so I don't...
Well, what does that mean?
Consider the source. I don't know that... Say, no, they don't. Yes, they do. I played the game. Did you?
I have played football. I was married to a football player. And, you know, the fact that you...
Being married to one...
You know what? I think, Mr. Dozier, you need...
Fans enjoy watching a good, clean hit. They whether or not a man comes back.
Fans would like to see that happen to you, I'll guarantee you your players would like to see that happen to you.
Are you a football fan, ma'am?
No, I'm not. Because
then you don't know what you're talking about.
I think you've taken too many hits to the head, Mr. Dozier.
Well, I think you're sneaking some of those drugs in the emergency room. You're an example of one of these mothers that I have to chase off the sidelines half the time.
Oh, no.
And you lay one foot on my turf to coddle any of my boys when they get hurt, and I'll have you removed, and maybe...
You know what, Mr. Dozier?
Yeah.
Those are not your boys, and maybe that's part of your frustration.
Well,
here's a mother right here.
Well, she's accusing me of all kinds of things.
No, but here's a mother who wants to come down to the sideline when her kid gets hurt, and you won't let her down there.
Absolutely. I'll have her removed, and she knows that I can.
You cannot have me removed. I'm a certified emergency room nurse. I can go places you can't go, Mr.
Well, okay, and I got my Boy Scout merit badge. What good is that, you know? You go back up to the stands, and you play Dr. Kildare up there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you stay away from any of the children I know because you need therapy, sir.
What are you going to do about it?
Okay, what are we talking about?
Well, this is exactly what I am talking about. Women that don't know anything about football sticking their nose in. And all of a sudden, you need therapy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, who is a peewee football coach. That's little kids ages 7 through 10, and he says that injury is part of the excitement of the game. Tommy Maddox yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers, suffered a pretty, pretty serious hit and was paralyzed. And to Vernon and to many football fans, it's exciting to see whether a guy's going to walk again or not. He also mentioned that watching Stan Humphries get five concussions one year and then not know which bench to walk to was exciting and thrilling. On top of that, he says that parents have no right coming down onto the sideline and telling him how to coach their kids. Do you have the right to go down to the sideline? Do you have a right to take your kid off of a team after he's made a commitment to a full season? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, Coach, to get your credentials, you coach high school football. It's Division 11 at Belmar Academy.
That is right, Division 11, Belmar Academy, in my 14th year there.
And you coach peewee football. Which is the team?
I coach the San Gabriel Valley Dolphins, Phil. They're 8 to 10-year-old boys, and they're great kids. And I'll just say this again. We have come so close the last 3 years to winning the San Gabriel Valley peewee division. These kids, I tell them at the beginning of the year, we came close last year. This year we're kicking the door down. And if any one of you think you're going to have your mama come down on the sidelines and bail you out, then I'm going to tell you right now, I will personally take an interest in making you suffer. Now, a kid gets hurt on my team. We have a small packet of cortisone. I could give him a cortisone shot where the mother doesn't even know about it. And most of the time that helps. but I can tell you.
Now, wait a minute. You're administering drugs to these kids without the parents knowing it?
Well, hold on. Before you get on your high horse, Phil.
No, I just want you're, but you're not a doctor.
No, hold on. Before you get on your high horse, I can give the kid a shot. His mommy and daddy don't know anything about it. He can keep playing, okay? Especially when the kids have got a knee injury or if there's a ripped ligament somewhere behind the knee. You can give him a cortisone shot. You can get another quarter out of the kid. Now, what he does after that's his business, but the point is, I tell him, you get your mama down on the sideline, and I will personally take an interest in making you suffer.
No parents on the sideline.
No parents on the sideline. I'm at a point right now, I'm telling my boys, if mommy comes to the game, you're going to ride the pine, and that's a promise.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier coaches Pee Wee football, and injuries being a part of the game, he doesn't let these kids use that as an excuse not to play. Carolyn, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, it's not an excuse, but this SOB has got to be a bloody sadist, because the truth of the matter is I'm an avid football fan.
Good, ma'am.
And I mean really avid. I went up...
Were you calling me an SOB?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. How the heck dare you say that football fans watch this to watch the injuries?
Ma'am, did you see yesterday's Pittsburgh-Tennessee game?
Yes, I did.
What? Are you telling me it wasn't exciting to know whether Tommy Maddox was going to walk again?
It was horrifying is what it was. It was not exciting. Well, it was horrifying.
You don't want to see Tommy Maddox injured, do you?
I don't know.
No, I don't.
No, let me ask Mr. Coach Dozier. You don't want to see him paralyzed for life, do you?
No, Phil, I don't. But it's exciting to know whether he will be or not. And
sir, you are a sadist.
How do you figure I'm a sadist?
You are sadistic.
How come you watch football? You look at just as many injuries as I do.
I love it, but I don't like the injury part of it. I also like heavyweight boxing.
Man, well, okay, but you don't like the injury part of it.
No. And I've got to tell you, I'm a mama. And my son, I didn't let him play football because I was afraid of the injuries.
Exactly.
He did the long jump, and he broke his bloody femur.
Well, but that's fun. It's fun for the boy.
Oh, it
it's
is fun,
for,
huh?
It's fun for the boy. It's fun for everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
You're trying to tell me that you don't change your underwear when you see the trainer run on the field. Now, tell me straight to my face.
You can bet your butt on that one.
You don't change your panties when you...
Okay, now we're getting personal and we're getting a little graphic.
I apologize.
I
apologize.
You should apologize to all of the football fans out there, because there is no way, if they did a consensus of opinion, that the people would say that they watch it for the injuries.
Ma'am, hold on. When Stan Humphries played for the San Diego Chargers, you probably remember, right?
Now,
he had five concussions in one season, and I'm telling you, it was thrilling to see whether he would get up and walk to the right bench.
Darling, don't you really feel you need medication somewhere along the way?
Wait a minute, ma'am. Why do you think...
Look, how thrilling is that to see a man who's just had a concussion stand up, and he shouldn't be standing up, I guess, and figure out whether he...
It's one of the things
that
fans...
We just had that a couple of weeks ago with the Dolphins.
It's just...
It pulled him out.
Which guy?
Chambers?
That was a riot.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, but when I saw Humphreys, I go, okay, which bench is it? One time he walked into the tunnel, and then he forgot and he came back out again. So what
I'm
saying...
And you find this exciting?
I think it's thrilling. And
let me ask you a game.
Can I ask you something? Do you have children, a wife, or a girlfriend?
I have a wife.
My God, have you been married long?
Ma'am, you're acting like you're... Are you trying to tell me that Monday night game with Joe Theismann's leg getting snapped... That wasn't one of the most exciting games in pro football history.
No.
The leg snapped.
No.
What was exciting about that?
Are you doing this just for attention?
No, ma'am.
I'm
absolutely
convinced of it.
No, ma'am. You didn't know whether the leg was going to come off or
you
what was going to happen.
You've got to be doing this just for attention.
Ma'am, this...
No normal human
absolutely.
Being thinks the way
All right,
you
hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Are injuries that exciting to watch in football? And if you had a kid getting injured, don't you think you should pull him off the field? Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Our website's philhenryshow.com. Speaking of football, good weekend for us. We took out Oak Park, and then I went on Saturday up to the Cal-Arizona game, and we went up with a couple of friends of ours. I took the oldest son and then another dad and his son. It was a real guy thing. And we flew up, and we got a rental car, and we made crude comments about the female passengers on the plane. And I was sitting with the other dad, and we left the seat between us open on Southwest. And I said, we really have to get a very small woman to sit here. That will be the most fun for the hour flight from L.A. to San Francisco. A, we can impress her with our wit and our charm, and B, she'll be small, so she won't take up a lot of space. And we got lucky, a small woman just ahead of five large, fat Raider fans flying to Oakland for the game. Now, you got to understand, this was Providence. It was providential, I guess, is the word, because she was very friendly, very nice lady, and she sat down, and we rapped, and it was cool, because right behind her was this cat. He had to be like 5 feet wide, big, fat slob of a guy with a big Raider jersey on. Nice guy, I guess, as far as Raider fans go. You guys don't want to sit with me? No, I don't think so. Not with that big fat gut of yours, man. I don't even know. You know, you fly on those in those coach seats, and especially on Southwest, which is 3 and 3. How does a big fat guy like that get into one of those seats? You got to buy two. You got to buy two. And Southwest one way to San Francisco from LA is how much? $38. So what the hell? $80, and you're going, you know, buy two or three and lay on the floor. Buy the whole back row and lay on the floor. So we got up to Berkeley. It was a lot of fun. And the reason why, I got to tell you this is interesting. My friend's son has been recruited by University of California to play football. And the reason why they invited us is, hey, let's go up there. You know, the boy can look at the field and the team, and we can go up and have a guy thing. I said, yeah, that's cool. You know, so I took my guy. So they got a special gate where the recruits get to go through. And then as you go through the gate, they have two co-eds meet you. Not the boys. They meet me, the father, and then they escort me around. And then two more co-eds. I'm joking, of course. Then two co-eds meet these two guys, my guy and the other guy, and they show them around the facility, the locker room, the field. You go anywhere you want to go, you go. And, of course, this is all just brand new to these guys. And then they're all walking up to this kid, and they're saying things like, hey, lifting weights, huh? You eating right? Hey, come on, man. We got to get you out there in the field, huh? Kind of got to burn you up like one season, and then you're done, okay? A fractured femur, and that's it for you. All right, then we'll throw your ass out. 5-year ride he's got. So it was just amazing, all these coaches just kissing ass, and, oh, that's what they do in college. They do. They don't give you money. I mean, the programs that are on the up and up. But they, everything else for you, man. They make sure that you have the best places to eat, and they invite you to all of these dinners and these steak, you know, barbecues and all this jazz. So we did all of that, and then we stood out near the locker room after the game ended, which, by the way, Cal got their ass kicked by Arizona. It was embarrassing because they were almost embar, as in Cal Bear-a-sing, embarrassing. They got their asses kicked by Arizona, which is a really bad team anyway. So I'm standing up there in the locker room. Now, when you have a kid playing high school football, little kid comes walking out. He's kind of a big kid, and he gives you his bag, and maybe he gives you a drink that they gave in the locker room, goes, hi, Mommy, and he'll hug his mom. Well, college ball is no different. The parents stand outside the locker room, just like they do in high school, only the guy coming out and saying, hi, Mommy, is 6'8". But you see these guys that are, you know, they're big enough to climb the Empire State Building, and they come up, hi, Mommy, here's my sandwich and drink. And they're 18 feet tall, but they're the same little guys, you know, basically the same little boys. And within a few years, they'll be in the pros, and they'll be going, hi, Mommy, and it'll be a $1,000 an hour hooker. Now, the other thing that was impressive about this marvelous, marvelous weekend that we spent, the campus was great, and, it was fantastic. And we took the limo ride, man. They limoed us in from the airport, and they limoed us back to the airport. Of course, we got back to L.A. We had to, you know, thumb. But up there, it was all taken care of. I would suggest that, and Cal Berkeley's a good school. It's a good math and science and engineering school. And you got to have, I think, a 2.5 if you're an athlete. If you're just a regular student, I think you need a 4.5. Joking, of course. I have no idea what you need to have, but it's a hell of a school. And the fact that this kid's got a 5-year ride up there, man. And I look at my guy, I said, so why don't you do this, man? Get a football scholarship, something. because I can't afford it anymore. University of California is like 6 G's a year, and one of the best educations you can get. 6 G's is el cheapo when it comes to college education. $6,000 a year, and it's one of the top flight educations that you can get in the country. And now this guy's going to go for free. I think I'm going to send our kids there, even if they can't play any sports. Or either that, or we can get it. You know, they're giving out scholarships now for like water polo and volleyball and crap like that. Rowing, that's it. I heard some guy say, you know, you can get your kid a rowing scholarship. All I got to do is talk them into rowing. Now I just got to get them excited about that. Rowing? Sure. What's it worth to the school to get a bunch of really good rowers? Because they'll have Olympians? Or they've got the coveted rowing championship? And here's another sport that, you know, I know you guys are tough and I know it's really fun, but rugby, get out of here, will you please, with rugby? Yeah, we got some really great rugby clubs. Yeah, but here's the big question. What? Who cares? Who cares? Cal has got this rugby team that's like kick-ass. And I guess they beat some team 99-0 or something. It's whatever with rugby. Yeah, but we're tougher than football players. Right, sure, okay. Whatever you say, man. If you're tougher than football players, exactly where does that get you in the greater scheme of life? More money? You're able to put your head through a wall? I guess you could do that Miller Lite commercial where the guy crushes a can with his head in his hand. I don't know. Maybe you could go on one of them Jackie Chan tours, dude, and start putting your head through blocks of you know, masonry. But whatever it is, it ain't happening, man, isn't it? Paying big dollars for rug freaking B. When I got down to Fiji, they were playing rugby down there.
Yeah, that's right. One of the players, he died.
Oh, really? What happened?
Got lost in a river.
Apparently, they were swimming across a river, the Fiji rugby team, and one of the guys just got swept out to sea. So that's what happens if you play rugby in Fiji. You know all those sports that they have at school? What did you do?
I threw the javelin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And what did you do? I was track and field, man. Shot put and hammer throw. I think maybe I can get on a Wheaties box. Sure. You betcha. They ain't gonna put no hammer throw guy on a Wheaties box. Unless he's, you know, like in Americans, we never win the hammer throw. So maybe if we had an American that won a hammer throw, like Janice is wagging her finger at me because those Canadians, that's all they ever do is throw their hammer. They're pounding that hammer day and night. What about that shot put? You got a lot of those muscle-bound farm boys up there. Just tossing shot puts, picking up houses and throwing them, big freaking logs and stuff. And at rugby, man, oh man. And then the other sport they have up there is, did you throw the shot put? Did you? Yeah, really? I don't get that. I saw one kid, man, we were at some field event. I saw a kid, he couldn't weigh more than 120 pounds. He was throwing this thing like a baseball. No, but that's it. And you know, they're rowing to the women's basketball, and they had the soccer. They have a soccer field there, and they want everybody to get into soccer. Football pays the bills. Don't ever forget it. Football pays the freight. You may not like it, and you may think that it's brutal, and it may be a sport for apes and animals and monkeys, and it might be a sport for meatheads and blockheads, but football pays the freight for the little soccer field and for the hammer throwing pit and for the polo and lacrosse pitch and for your all of your rugby jerseys and everything else. Football is paying the freight, booby. Especially at Cal, that huge 80,000-seat stadium, and they had a total of 25,000 fans there on Saturday. Way to support your football team there, Cal. Yeah, it was. There's nobody there. Why do you want to go to see a team like that? Although they're getting better, or so they tell me. But Berkeley was fine. There were no riots. There were no freaks, no hippies. We went in. We had breakfast. The guy that served me my breakfast burrito wrap, had about 1,600 piercings, and like he had a tattoo of a pair of eyes on the back of his head, like that dude in Oz. And this was great. Yeah. You know, and then, of course, to get to the stadium, you got to walk off of Telegraph, and you're just walking for miles up hills. And by the time I got up there, man, I needed defibrillation. I needed a couple of those paddles. Whank! I'm up there. You doing all right, Phil? Not too good. Okay, clear! All right, let's go get a beer. All right, so 1-800. So anybody see that injury to Tommy Maddox yesterday? It was brutal. And the Raiders and Patriots, let me tell you a little bit about the Raiders and Patriots. What my good friend there, Vernon Dozier, who, by the way, I was doing the voice of our guest, Vernon Dozier, said about the Patriots and Raiders is true. In the late 1970s, Jack Tatum did put a hit on Daryl Stingley that paralyzed Daryl Stingley from the waist down. And it's one of the reasons why, to this very day, the Patriot organization hates the living guts of the Raider organization. I mean, there is bad blood between those two teams. I remember back in 85 when the Raiders were beaten at the L.A. Coliseum by the Patriots. There was a fist fight in the tunnel between one of the Patriot office staff and Matt Millen. I mean, that's how angry that organization is concerning the Raiders, that some guy who pushes pencils for a living would go off on one of their linebackers. They hate their guts. And I saw the Raiders win the game last night. Hey, congratulations, Raiders. Too bad you can't win that game when it counts. Like last year's playoffs. I guess it was a little too cold for you, huh? Did you get a bad call? Well, you can go back to 1976, that bogus roughing the passer call that put you in the Super Bowl when New England should have been there. So, you know, turnabout's fair play. So the Raiders came up big last night, but that ain't the playoffs. That's a whole different thing, right? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening on Friday. Ted Bell was our guest. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He was on the program to complain about having to be warned time and again about Al-Qaeda threats. He's prepared. He has security. He has personal security. Go warn the people who need it, the five-figure people a year, the five-figure-a-year people. Ted doesn't need the warning. In fact, he has people on his personal domestic staff that would take a bullet for him.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm from common folk. I'm just a dang old truck driver. But I'll tell you what, Hans, we're the ones who get you the food. We're the ones who produce this good fine meat that you're going to be eating for that. And
there's another way of looking at it.
Now, let me finish.
There's another way of looking at it.
Let Sam finish, okay, Ted?
Don't interrupt me.
Good old boy act. You know, I know that's just a defense mechanism. You're smarter.
I don't need to be defensive.
You're smarter than that.
You're the one who's being defensive by not letting me speak.
All that beef that you're bringing to me is nothing but dead flesh in the back of your truck if I don't prepare it to a very fine, sizzling perfection. Now, you know that as well as I do.
But you're going to keep interrupting me, you know, we're going to talk about intelligence. Most people would learn that I'm trying to say something just like you are.
I'm sorry, but I've got guests coming tomorrow, and I apologize.
Okay,
I've got toilets. All I'm trying to tell you is
the fact is that all of us, as a country, as a freedom-loving country, we have to stick together. You know, you and Bill Clinton might be sleeping together, but the rest of us do care what's going on.
So now you're calling me a fag. I didn't say anything to you. I'm just saying that the way you're playing politics right now.
All I'm saying is I got a security staff, and I have a security keep running your job, and all you do is irritate people. And you are the kind of person that I would love to see.
Have you ever seen 14 that look like the seal of a man's
going to go down from a bullet? You're going to go down because people's going to quit going into your restaurant.
I want to know, Sam, have you ever seen 14 toilets? And that's how many I have in my house.
I'll tell you what, I got a small farm that's worth $3 million, so you don't have to talk to me about
money.
I'm not trying to impress the guy with my money. I'm trying to take a $100 bill just like you do and set it on fire.
When you tell people bad news in the middle of a Santa Maria tri-tip barbecue, you're going to have 14 toilets that look like the Manson murder scene.
Hey, that way you can employ somebody else, and you'll be giving them five figures to somebody else to clean them.
Now, to clean the toilets,
nice?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make a dog do work like that. But
well,
Sam,
it sounds like you do. It sounds like your employees are treated like dogs if you expect them to take a bullet that's meant for you when they're getting paid to walk their dog.
Well, I don't see why.
That's my feeling exactly.
I thought Abe Lincoln freed the slaves back when.
I pay my people, sir, and they go to their own homes at night.
For dog walking
I'm
anyway,
simply
then.
Saying that if you're employed by me, for instance, if you were employed by me, Sam, I'd pay you damn good. But yes,
hey,
you would have to take
your
a bullet.
Money, Hans.
You'd have to take my. You'd have to take a bullet.
I wouldn't take your money, and I wouldn't take your bullet. I hope your niece has a beautiful wedding though tomorrow.
Well, it's very nice of you, Sam. But I think you've been extremely.
I'm going to tell you this, though, Hans. The way that you're going,
my name isn't Hans.
Your business go bankrupt because it's people like me that support people like you.
Are you telling me you don't support me? The meat you bring me, I have got to beat into submission and make something edible out of it.
Is your restaurant on Rodeo Drive?
My restaurant is on, yes, it's on Dayton and Rodeo.
Yeah,
and we got some great beef, but some of the meat you guys bring me lately, I got to take a tenderizing hammer to it for days.
And we'd have to see. I think you just lost one customer because I'm just one of them old boys. Like I said, I'll match my $100 bills with you. I may not be as rich as you are.
I bet you said Rodeo Drive because you read about it in a magazine once.
No, sir, I didn't. I didn't even know nothing. I never even heard about you before.
Let me ask you something, Sam.
To be honest with you, because most morons I don't pay attention to.
Oh, I'm a moron,
and that's
huh?
where you have went to. You went beyond stupidity. You went to moron, Bill.
Well, I'll tell you this much. At least I ain't trying to bring out steaks to a restaurant that tastes like combat boots smothered in a cream sauce.
And then you're feeding them right to your customers. That tells your customers what they're really eating.
Well, then why don't you stop bringing them to me?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
He may be bringing out the combat boot meat, but Ted's feeding them directly to his customers. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mike, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. I heard you talking on Friday about how you're going to be at the Cal game, and I saw you there on Saturday.
I just want
to say I'm a big fan of the show, and you were talking to some people, so I didn't get a chance to say hi. But thanks. Yeah, it was a great game, even though we lost.
Well, I suppose. It was a miserable game from the standpoint that they should have won.
Yeah, well, I'm a Cal student. I mean, there's a better season than last year.
Where were you? Were you in the student section?
Yeah, in the student section.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting over there with Jeff and Kyle and Nick.
Oh, okay.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful campus. And it's really a cool stadium, too.
Yeah, it is.
Just wish you had a team. Well, you will.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Thanks for not bothering me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks,
all right, see you later. Bye. This guy that calls up, Phil, I saw you at the game and I didn't bother you. Thank you. Actually, it doesn't matter to me. I talk to folks. It's just the guys that will follow you to your car that, yeah. It's the people that follow you to your car, like Janice, for instance. Just, you know, turn around, Janice. Go the other way. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, check out our website, philhenryshow.com, because we have a brand new game in our games and movies section. It's called Spooge Man. It's a takeoff on Pac-Man. Check that out along with Hendroids in our games and movies section on our website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Big news here. CBS is going to do a reality show based upon the Beverly Hillbillies. They're going to go to the mountains of, they've been actually going to Boone, Mingo, Wyoming, and McDowell counties in West Virginia, and they want to put a show on that's going to be a reality version of the Beverly Hillbillies. They're going to put their cameras in a log cabin, and they're going to film these people. And it'll be for the amusement and entertainment of all of us sophisticated and erudite urban-type people. And we'll just giggle and laugh, won't we? I don't know. And I'd like to ask CBS at this particular time, are you really willing to risk what's going to happen to your male staff members when they get out there to the mountains and tell a bunch of hillbillies, say, we'd like to film you guys. Everybody can laugh at you. Old rat ride. Do you really want to do that, CBS, huh? Do you really want to send your male employees out there to the West Virginia mountains only to be made into Ellie Mae Clampett within hours of their arrival? Because they may find, you know, the best possible log cabin out there, and somebody's going to come out wearing those wrestling overalls and say, oh, I'm in love with you. Yeah, okay.
So here's the deal.
Well, now, there's a few things I want to ask you. I'm an ugly man. No one's ever told me how pretty I am, but you're very pretty. I think you're a very, very attractive man. You're a very attractive male.
Look, I just came out here from L.A.
Yeah, I understand you're from Los Angeles. You want to make fun of my people, don't you? Well, we'll just see how much fun you can make. Now get them off.
Wait a second, what are you...
I said to get them off. You want to...
There's Craig...
This is wrong, brother. You want a big-time TV show, don't you? You want to put me on all the TV shows and stations, don't you?
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Everyone would love it.
Really? Well, then get them off. Get them off and let me see it.
What do you want to see?
I'm party size.
Never mind.
I'm sure this hick. I'm party size.
Ho-ho.
That's what CBS will do to bring a hit series for you folks. It was tough. It hurt. There was a little blood. But they landed the deal for Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes! Yes!
And when that guy came walking bull-legged into Les Moonbeam's, Moonbeam's office, whatever that cat's name is.
Have a seat, Bill.
No, sir, I'd rather stand.
I said to sit down.
Okay.
Ow.
You did it. You did it, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I sure did.
I know, you had to take one for the team. I guarantee there'll be a little something in your envelope.
Sir, I think we ought to rename the show Hillbillies on Parade. What do you think?
That's good. A little something in your envelope for that, man. Want to take some time off?
Yeah, I think so.
To heal?
Oh, Jesus.
Sir?
Yes. I think there's already a little something in my envelope.
All right. Don't want to bother you.
West Virginia is one of several states being scarred for a rural family who will live in Beverly Hills for 1 year. The search also is going on in Kentucky, Virginia. Oh, yeah. I mean, so in other words, Beverly Hills is so, so unusual that a guy from West Virginia, his mind's going to get blown by living in a house? I bet you anything they're going to have a, unless they literally do go find a family. In other words, Americans are not that disparate in our economic or cultural strata that we don't recognize each other's life, unless you find some very remote holler where the eyes are so close together they're almost cyclops. I mean, you're talking about people who just centuries of inbreeding. And the holler they're in, bare feet, squirrel meat, once a month, maybe they got a carton of Marlboros in. They get all them over-the-air stations from Nashville and Charlotte. I mean, that's what you got to be talking about. But I doubt seriously whether anybody from CBS has got the gonads to go that deep into the holler and risk the repeated, sometimes pleasurable, sometimes not, intrusion that it would take for them to get the deal. Now, next year, CBS is going to bring a tribe of Kalahari Bushmen from the deserts of who knows where and drop them off in Hollywood right on a corner and just see what happens. You know, when I was in Fiji, I talked to this guy, seriously, and the guy said, you know, I was in America. I said, really? Yeah, you know, Mike, who was the owner of the hotel, he brought me to America, and because this was one of the people who worked on the staff. And I got my teeth fixed, because this old guy, I guess his teeth were just falling out. So Mike took him stateside, right up here to San Francisco, got his teeth fixed, and then took him to a Rolling Stones concert at Alameda County Stadium in a drizzling rain in, like, November. Now, here's this old guy. He's never set foot off of Fiji in his life. He's in the middle of this concert hall, this enormous stadium. It's raining. He doesn't dig the music. He doesn't dig all the people. And he just wanders off. So I'm hearing a story from Mike. He says, we didn't know where he went. We were scared to death. We had no idea where he went. They drove around the parking lot looking for him. They couldn't find him. They didn't know what else to do but to go home and call the police and then wait. And the next day, he shows up. This old guy, this old Fiji cat, shows up at the door. Well, what happened was he just wandered off into the neighborhoods of Oakland and found a Fiji Indian restaurant and went in and made friends with the guy, the owner, who was from Fiji, and opened up this Fiji Indian restaurant and spent the whole night, like, eating and drinking and talking to this guy. And then when the sun came up, then he just split and walked over to this guy, I guess walked miles to the guy's house. So they're not all the big hicks that we think they are. You know, they're not all just the babes in the woods that we think they are. And just when you start getting high on that big city horse, the next thing you know, somebody's bending you over a moonshine barrel. So be careful what you wish for, babe. You might get it. I guess you'll be wanting to take some time off.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Would you stop rubbing your rear end in front of my wife?
I'm sorry, but you know.
Well, you really landed the deal, and this is great. Let's meet Mr. What's his name, Clampett? Mr. Clampett?
How are you?
Very good, sir. I'm Les Moonbeam. I'm head of CBS.
Yeah, you're real pretty, too.
What the hell is he talking about? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This is Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Just a little comment about the Raiders and the Patriots.
Yeah?
That fight that Howie Long got into, he got in a fight with Pat Sullivan, the owner's son.
That was actually Matt Millen.
Oh, that's right, Matt
Who got
Millen.
Into a fight with...
Pat
yeah,
Sullivan.
Pat, who was one of the front office guys?
No, that was Billy Sullivan's son, the owner's son.
I know, but he worked in the office.
Yeah, it was like a VP or
mm-hmm.
something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so...
Right.
And I think it kind of like happened right on the field, too, after the game. When
it was in the tunnel. It was on the way to the tunnel after
yeah.
the game, yeah.
Yeah, but I...
Well, those two teams hate each other's... The Patriots got good reason to hate them.
Oh, I know. I'm from Massachusetts,
yeah.
and, you know...
You know the whole Daryl Stingley.
Oh, I know everything.
Play.
Yeah, and it was just like a, you know, it was just a preseason game too.
Yeah,
it wasn't a real, even a regular season game. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know where Tatum is now. I think he's got a liquor store in Oakland, and the food up there is stale, and the booze he sells it's all vinegar.
Right. So yeah. Now I hope the Raider fans are happy. Now maybe we can hear the end of the snowball game.
You well, know? You know, you see, the Raiders bitch and complain that they don't get the calls and that the league hates them. Well, a league may hate them, but they've made the playoffs plenty of times. They've even gone to the AFC final 2 years ago or whenever
mm-hmm.
it was. I mean, exactly just how bad does everybody hate them when they're still playing good football? Problem with the Raiders is their owner.
Yep.
Al Davis is an imbecile who's, you talk about a guy who the games passed by. They let a really good coach go. And like I say, the Patriots, you know, they won in the playoffs when they had to. And if anybody wants to talk about getting screwed, it happened to the Patriots on a roughing the passer call.
Oh.
You may be too young to remember this.
Oh, no, I'm old enough.
Yeah, okay. Remember when that Ben Dreyfus, that moron, called that roughing the passer call on Stabler? Forget it. So it goes back and forth.
Right.
And the fact is they won the game. The Raiders didn't. And if they got all that, then why don't they go on out and show it this year? They'll certainly, they've got a ample opportunity to win that division because ain't nobody running away with it.
That's
and then we'll
sure.
see. All right, Tom?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Oh, come and listen to a story about it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Anybody out there come from the hills of Arkansas or West Virginia? And just exactly what would you do to a CBS News or TV exec when they came up there and said, hi! 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got a TV show for you. Move some white folks into the Chicago projects. There you go. Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah, let's get the hicks and move them into Beverly Hills because that's the most extreme cultural... Those are the two most extreme cultural counterpoints that we can think of. Hillbillies and Beverly Hills. My ass. You take some white folk and stick them right down there into the Atlanta projects and film that. I don't know what the theme music would sound like. Hi, I'm Bill Brownlee. And you have, like, the reality camera. It's there.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm Dexter.
Hi, Dexter. we're going to be living here, and look, I want no problem with you people.
All right.
Just leave me and my wife alone. Leave my kids alone. Or you could have something else, you know. Move some black folks into Beverly Hills. You want rare? There, you got. And I ain't talking about Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy. I mean, just some guy who grew up in the, right about 103rd and Avalon. Stick him into Beverly Hills. See what happens. That'd be real funny. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good, man.
What's going on?
We're just trying to help CBS out here and find a hillbilly family. No, I'm kidding. I just... What the hell is that, man? So, in other words, we'll come down there with a camera and we'll stick it in your house, and then we'll show everybody how funny you are when you come to Beverly Hills. Holy Christ, this guy's vacuuming it. Right, what are you doing? He's sucking exhaust. I lost him. I think he just went into a meat grinder. I think he fed himself into a skill saw. How you doing? Lumberjacked himself to death. Here is Kyle. Kyle?
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
This is ridiculous.
Huh?
This is ridiculous. I'm from Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's no different than anywhere else.
So, you know, you go to Beverly Hills and all of a sudden your mind's blown or something.
Oh, man. I've never seen a building in my life.
You're right.
We all live in sex.
I think it would be a wonderful thing to have some guy wearing, you know, kind of those tasseled loafers and a long black leather coat get bent over a moonshine barrel. And
yeah, man.
Are you barefoot right now?
I am, actually.
Okay.
I'm driving my 4x4 pickup with the dog in the back.
And you are barefoot.
With my corn cob pipe.
Do you have indoor plumbing?
Okay. Oh, no.
All right. Corn cob pipe. Well, I you know... How many teeth you got? I can't do it, Kyle.
I got two top, one bottom.
No, we need someone.
That's how I open my can.
Yeah. I can't put you on TV. I don't think they're going to find anybody. I think they're going to find people that have to put it on, man. I really do. I think they're going to have to find hillbillies that have to pretend like they're dumb hicks because they're not going to find anybody that dumb. If you do, it's almost cruel. Because there ain't nobody going to go cement pond. And then all of a sudden, like, be smarter than the banker. Mr. Drysdale, I think what you have to do is get into that cage with our raccoon and see what kind of a man you are before I put my money in your bank. Well, Mr. Clampett, I... No, really. Ellie Mae and Jethro have wired up the harness. Now, I'll spread your legs, and let's just see what'll happen here with this axle grease. Well, Mr. Clampett, I'd do anything for your money, as you know. All right. Let's go for it. Jethro! So all of a sudden, they're, like, smart, but they're dumb. And then you're not going to find that. You're going to find some people either smart or dumb. And if you find someone that's dumb, you're going to, I think it'll be, well, it might be good. What do I know? And plus, if you're going to do that show, you're going to have to find a lesbian secretary for the bank president. And where are you going to find that in Beverly Hills? You want to do that show, you're going to have to go all the way. You're going to have a guy who's sort of, you know, a closet homosexual and the neo-lesbian secretary who's got the hots for Jethro. And then you'll have to have Dash Riprock interject the movie star into the whole thing. So who would it be? It would be, what movie star would you plug into it? You know what I'm saying? You'd have to have some guy dating your daughter, some really hot-looking hillbilly daughter. Probably somebody like, you know, wish Ben Pierce Brosnan, you know, Ben Affleck would be perfect. Ben Affleck. And have him cruise up in a sports car, and then he goes out with a hick. And then you'd have to have, who else? Just any number of idiots. Who are the other cats on that show? Granny. Oh, a granny. You gotta have some old lady with the cement pond, and she's doing possum pie, and she's putting up her preserves for the winter. Takes a shotgun to the gardener. They're driving down the road. They refuse to buy a new car, and they refuse to dress normally. It ain't gonna happen. You won't be able to do it. Okay, we're going to move you to Beverly Hills, but you have to stay in those jeans. Do you mind? No, I'm not going to stay in the jeans. I've got enough bread here. I'm going to go down and buy myself some slacks. Some slacks, some shoes. And how about a belt and not a rope? Good God. Can I get a new car? No, we want you. Just that Model A. That old, you know, pickup truck. And then you've got to... is your daughter fond of raccoons? She, like, carrying them around in cages, you know, possum? Does she do any of those things?
No, sir, she doesn't. My daughter went to the University of West Virginia, and I know what you big city people are trying to do, okay? And I'll tell you right now, I'll give you an intervention right through the back of your head. To quote my main man, Tony Soprano, the dog is a, you know, a big duke, freaking grand, great dame. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. You know, I'm calling from Colorado, actually, but I grew up in West Virginia for 27 years, and my daughter does go to WVU. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there are places like what you're talking about. For example, there's a place called Hawk's Nest Hollow in the southern part of West Virginia where I'm sure that they might be able to convince some people and truly have never seen the light of day. However, I don't think it would be a good idea to walk on their property. I don't think they'd be bent over a moonshine still, but I think that they would have their head blown off.
Yeah, okay, all right. So maybe I got too much of that deliverance stereotype going.
Right.
But there is, anybody they're going to get that's a genuine hillbilly who, as you say, hasn't seen the light of day, they're going to be very insular people.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not going to exactly, we're going to bring you to Hollywood, and we're going to put you in a mansion, and we're going to film you for a year. Bull crap.
No, they'll have to find actors.
They will. Anybody they get, they'll have to play it up. There's another place south of New Orleans called the Delacro. You go to, south of New Orleans about an hour, and it's a bunch of shrimping boats. Nobody's ever seen a city. They've never been into New Orleans.
Right.
And they call it the end of the world. Go down there and get some of those Cajuns and bring them on out to Hollywood.
Exactly.
You're right. They'll be taking their lives in their hand. So the newspaper headline variety, CBS, six producers killed while trying to cast. All right, Deborah, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Six producers were found dead today. With their pants around their ankles. All right, enough of that thing. 1-800-449-8686. Have I told you lately how much I love you? Have I told you about our website, philhenryshow.com? We have a brand new game in our games and movies section. It's called Spooge Man. It's a takeoff on Pac-Man. Don't forget, of course, coming up on the 22nd to the 24th, our website's going to be free. So if you'd like to get a backstage pass, but you're not quite sure about the quality of the archived comedy there, which we are able to produce day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, the highest caliber of radio comedy ever, then why don't you listen during our free weekend, the 22nd through the 24th. Thanksgiving weekend, it'll be a Bobby Dooley marathon. Six great hours of Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley and all of the antics there at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And then on December the 20th, our webcast, second annual. All ahead on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's that time for Phil Henry's three things. And I will do three things here. I'll have 60 seconds in which to talk about them starting now. All right, CD bonus tracks. This is no different from the old 3D movies. CDs, music isn't selling. Why isn't music selling? Because the music is probably no good, or a better explanation is the fact that rock and roll is dead. Rock and roll is dead. It's dead. It's dead. If it was alive, then people would be buying it, wouldn't they? Fact is, rock and roll is the kind of music that is supposed to die. It's revolutionary, and then it dies. You just can't keep playing that crap forever. As far as CD bonus tracks are concerned, that's when they came out with 3D glasses, and they've got virtual this and virtual that. Fact is, things are more entertaining these days than listening to Carlos Santana trying to reinvent his career with the singer of the hour. Carlos, you were great once. Go and play flamenco on Hana. Find a nice little place. Lift weights at the beach. You know how it is. But CD bonus tracks, that ain't going to get anybody buying more CDs. Unless, of course, there's the sound of somebody being murdered in a studio or, something really interesting like that. Something that is going to give me... All right, dream interpretation is our next topic. You know, dreams have many interpretations. You can say anything about a dream. Dreams, for instance, being pursued or attacked is supposed to feel like you're feeling threatened, injured or killed, emotional wounds. You're in or near a vehicle that is out of control. Supposedly, your life is out of control. Let me tell you the true interpretation of dreams, and this is state of the art. Dreams sometimes don't mean diddly. Dreams are sometimes just random firings of neurons. They don't mean jack. You can have a dream about a big pink elephant. You can have a dream about your mama, a dream about your daddy, beating the crap out of your younger sister, and it's just you had too much to drink the night before, and your neurons are going crazy. Sometimes dreams don't mean anything, and that's the state-of-the-art thinking. Many psychiatrists, psychologists, whoever you trust, they say now we've been wasting tons of time on this dream interpretation crap. Sigmund Freud can go pound sand. What a lion sack of Austrian crap he was. And now our third and final topic, men who dance. There seems to be some idea that guys that can't dance aren't sexy. Women know this to be completely the opposite. Women don't care how you dance, as long as you get out and dance. You see what I'm saying? In other words, you could just shuffle from one foot to the other, back and forth. The fact is, you just rock back and forth. Just get out on the dance floor, okay? Because if you don't, then she thinks you're a pile, and you don't go dancing with her on a Friday or Saturday night. She really thinks you're a lame brain and a limp you-know-what. So go dancing with her, and that way she'll at least be happy that I go out with my wife dancing, and I'm shuffling from one foot to the next, and she tells me, yeah, you're a great dancer. Yeah, sure. I don't dance. I can't dance. I wouldn't dance. But I gotta dance, otherwise she's unhappy and she gets depressed and she needs hormones. That's it, man. That's Phil's three things today. CD bonus tracks, dream interpretation, and guys can't dance. Thanks very much. 1-800-449-8686. I'm serious about the dreams. They don't mean anything. All that wasted energy about dream interpretation, and they don't mean a thing. You can go to sleep. For instance, I have this dream occasionally that I'm being tickled. What is that supposed to mean? What's that? I'm being tickled. I'm being tickled until it's painful. Now, it's not a pleasant dream, but it's... Wait a second, I know what it means. I'm gay. Thank you. You're right. I forgot, man. I knew that there was something there that I just wasn't thinking of. I'm gay. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, here's our take today on Iraq and the rest of those numbskulls. I love all this conversation about how...
Well, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Iraq is... people think that there's linkage between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, where there's absolutely nothing in common. Iraq is a secular socialist society. Al-Qaeda is run by this devout fundamentalist violent Muslim. Why...
It doesn't have to. These guys are... Since when does Iraq and Al-Qaeda have to have... you know, in other words, what, are they not going to get federal funding? Because they don't exactly, because they're not meeting federal guidelines for how to have your terrorist organization link up with another one. They got one major thing in common. One thing in common. There's an old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Ever heard that one before? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's all you need to know. And anybody can get into bed with anybody else. I have never in my life heard people do more flips and twists to try to rationalize their way out of the necessity for an attack on Iraq. The latest one is Iraq and Al-Qaeda have no linkage. There's no proof that there's any linkage. There's no reason to believe that Iraq is funding Al-Qaeda or vice versa. You gotta be dreaming. You gotta be putting me on. You gotta be dumb. Here are two organizations that want one thing in common, and that is the complete eradication of the United States of America from the Arabian Peninsula and, frankly, from the entire Middle East. Why is that? Because they feel that we're backing up the Zionist entity Israel and because we're exploiting their resource. Frankly, they don't care about whether we buy their oil or not. They love the fact that we buy their oil. They want us to keep buying their oil, but they don't want us to be there at the expense of the, at their expense. They don't like the Jews being there. The Jews are interlopers. In their opinion, they are European Zionist internationalists who will eventually expand their territory far beyond Israel and Palestine and will be a threat to all the other Arabs. Never mind that it ever occurred to any of them that maybe Israel would like to live there in peace, that maybe they would just like to, you know, chill out. There was this entire violation of their land back in 1946, 47, 48. Never mind that the Arabs turned around and accepted the UN partition rule after they attacked Israel and lost. But all of that is by the boards. The fact is that they want America out of there. Well, Hussein will give bin Laden what he needs if it helps effect that removal of America and vice versa. So in other words, Hussein thought it was just terrible that the World Trade Center got attacked. Yeah. Yeah, he was, and he was absolutely surprised by it, wasn't he? Of all of the childish crap that I've heard around this thing, that one is number one on the hit parade. Iraq and Al-Qaeda got nothing in common. And it wasn't Iraq that flew the planes into the World Trade Center. What if you found out that it was Iraq that flew the planes into the World Trade Center, Barbara? Would you be in favor then of attacking Iraq? I doubt it. I think that we'd want to sit down, break bread, bring in some water, you know, talk about it, have a bowl of fruit brought in, maybe break for lunch, maybe a nice, you know, Merlot, maybe a fruit salad, then come on back to the table and rap about it a little bit. You know, why are you pissed off? How much can we pay you not to attack us? How much money can we pay you not to murder our people? That's all I'm going to say about that, man. That's what's been talked about here the last few days. It does look like everybody is just ready to get it on. Like somehow Iraq, in their suicidal way, which is the only way that they've conducted themselves in that country for the last 12 years, in that neurotic, suicidal manner that they have, they just want to keep talking and keep talking and keep talking until somebody shuts their mouth. They want to talk about the mother of all wars and this and that. And, boy, I've never seen anybody want to die more than Saddam Hussein. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, FHM, here are some oral notes about women. Women and their mouths. 100% of them eat in bed. Well, we knew that. 98% of them have practiced their kissing technique on a mirror. 93% have had a cavity. 90% have dumped a guy because he was a horrible kisser. 76 would kiss a stranger. 72% rate their oral technique as very good to excellent. Well, now, is that right? Sure. Yeah, you're just great, honey. Y'all, just because it worked on guy number one, don't mean it's going to work on guy number two. You dig? Excuse me, I don't want to... What? I'm sorry. Well, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. God, you really know how to blow the mood, don't you? I'm sorry. I can you not... Your teeth, the teeth don't feel good. I don't know... why? 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 So you... What are you talking about, Craig? I can't even read what you're saying there, man. Craig wrote me a note here on the whiteboard, and I can't understand a word of it. You don't really blow?
That's what you're saying. Don't... Never mind. Just forget it.
Let me just get back to what I was talking about. Ow! What? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The teeth, you know.
What are you talking about?
The teeth.
Oh, quit it. You know you like it.
No. No, I don't. I don't like having a rake taken to it. Thank you very much. I don't want to have... What, you like teeth?
Well, it's different.
Look, I don't know who you were going out with before me, but the teeth thing is forget it.
You're really different from most of the guys I know.
Oh, okay. I guess you went out with... Who the hell were you going out with? Freaking masochists? Yeah, who are you dating? A corn on the cob? What you talking about?
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, it's... You're really different. It's the first time I...
And then they get all insulted and offended.
Well, it's the first time I've been told that.
Look, I'm sorry. Come on back. It's okay. I mean, we can...
What? Are you going to teach me how? Is that it?
No, forget it. Forget I even brought it up. Forget it even rose to the... I mean, forget it got hard. Forget I brought it. Never mind.
Where did you ever get the idea that teeth was... Look, my last boyfriend, who dated three Playboy bunnies, he knows, and...
He must have been some kind of a fruitcake.
Well, you'll never get it again if you bring it up.
Okay, thanks. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Website PhilHenryShow.com. On Thanksgiving weekend, it is the Bobby Dooley Marathon. 6 full hours of Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve Dooley and all the disgusting people there from Western Estates Homeowners Association and the beautiful gated community of Western Estates, where everybody wants to live, but most people can't. And of course, on the 22nd to the 24th, go to our website and all of the audio will be free. So you can decide whether you want a backstage pass on the Phil Henry website or not. And on December the 20th is our webcast. It'll be a free live webcast of our radio show. Starting at 1 o'clock Pacific and going all the way until 7, we will webcast our show prep in the office and then the actual broadcast of the show. December 20th, our second annual webcast. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Amaya. Moira.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Amorye.
Amorye.
Yes.
That's love you. Amor is love, and Y-A is yes, so that's like love you.
No.
Ain't that what it is?
It's supposed to be pronounced Amore, you know, like the song Love, you know, that's Amore.
Amore, like, yeah, that's spelled yes. A-M-O-R-E.
No, A-M-O-R, like E with a, like a, agu, that's what it's called.
I dig it. Okay.
But anyway,
somebody
I wanted to
up.
Tell you about... Yeah. What'd you say?
I said somebody messed your name up. They should have put the little thing on it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It's a nice name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't understand why you were saying that about women. Women don't act like that. Women don't do that for real.
Oh, I
real.
See. Yeah, it's just all been my imagination all these years.
Yes, it has.
Yes,
seriously,
I
cannot believe you've been with a woman that has done that.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding?
Come on. I don't do that. I mean,
I don't believe you, Moria.
It's a part of love, yes, but I don't use the teeth. Come on. I can't
you don't
believe
use your
you
teeth? Well, it's
that.
Fantastic. Do you know what it's like? And then you lay there and you scream like it's Dracula.
Oh, my goodness.
Moria, I have to ask you a question. Do you have
what?
Teeth? You have to have teeth
yes,
first
I
before
got
you...
Teeth.
You got teeth, all right. Because you have
yes.
to have them first before you use them. And I'm telling you, one night, the landlord came to the door. Are you all right, Mr. Henry? Yes, I'm fine. Because he heard... down the hall.
No. Anyway, I cannot believe that. I just cannot believe that. Especially, I listen to your show, and I know, I understand that you do the voices and everything, you know?
So you think I'm that nuts that I'm imagining some mystery woman who used her teeth one night like a freaking, like a leaf rake, like she's raking dirt clods. And I'll tell you this much, as I was just talking to my good friend Mr. Taylor here, Amorye,
yeah.
Every man would rather meet a woman who would just come right out and say she doesn't know what she's doing. Honest
see,
to God.
No, I know what I'm doing.
You think.
I know.
You think.
I know what I'm doing.
You think you know what you're doing.
No.
What happens that one day you meet that guy and he screams. He's like, you look up and he's got a knotted T-shirt in his teeth and it's all he can do to keep from screaming.
Goodness, you're about to give me a heart attack. You're just too crazy.
You know what? No, you'll meet a guy like that one day, Amorye. And
I never will.
And you'll say this.
I never will.
You'll say this to him and say, isn't that good, honey? And he'll go, oh, God! No! Stop! Stop it! Have you ever had a man, while you're pleasuring him, go, please quit it!
No, never? I never have.
That was
only
me.
Only got one boyfriend. And,
that was
you know.
Me 10 years ago with a woman that I knew in the, I'll just say, a major southeastern city. And she thought she was great. And I would just be, quit it! So you've never tasted
blood.
You've never tasted blood. All right, listen, Amorye, thanks for calling the show.
Okay.
Have a beautiful night.
You too.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For supporting the Phil Henry Show.
Please stop!
How do you like that, honey?
Stop it!
Just admit that you don't know what you're doing. Say it to the guy. Be happy as hell. The man can then say, all right, now, let me tell you what to do. So, see, women, they don't have to know, right? Guys, we're the one. All the pressure's on us. Go ahead. Just keep piling the pressure on us. We have to be good at this, and we got to be good at that, and we got to be good at something else, and we got to smell good, dress good, have a good car. Just keep dumping all the pressure on us until the entire male species of the human race is burned out in 50 more years. 50 years, there won't be one male surviving baby past three. That's okay. Just go ahead.
You don't do this right.
Okay.
You don't do that right.
All right.
You don't make enough money.
Got it.
Not a good enough car.
Right.
You're a little ugly.
Okay.
Your hair is receding.
Thank you.
Can't get it up.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't last more than a minute.
All righty. Anything else, dear?
Oh, that's, well, I'll think of something.
I'm sure you will.
All right, great.
Well, I think I'll get some sleep. Gotta get up early. Gotta go to work. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. Henry,
1-800-449-8686. Well, a audio tape that is circulated appears to be that of Osama bin Laden. I've got R.C. Collins. He's a senior cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. You are not over there. Your classmates are not over there, R.C. But what do you think should be done in the search for Osama bin Laden and in the coming war with Iraq?
Well, Mr. Henry, it looks like we're in it. The Rangers are over there now, but we want people to understand the recruits coming up now, the generations of fighting men. We aren't going to let bin Laden slip through our fingers, which I think, regrettably, like the current group did.
You think the current group of fighting men in Iraq and Afghanistan have let bin Laden slip through their fingers?
I think, sir, that you have a group of soldiers who have a lot of technology and air support. But really what this job is about, Mr. Henry, is really hand-to-hand. You have to let go of the Pentagon's apron strings, the tanks, the jets, the Black Hawks, the radios. What I like to say is this is just one of those good old-fashioned put your knife in your teeth, get down in the dirt, recon the situation, and get some payback. So soldiers are supposed to be dirty. They got to get hoorah. The guys that are over there right now are good soldiers, but they're a little bit soft, and they had a little bit too much Super Bowl on the TV, but what would that do?
All right, so you're in a military academy. Do you think you know how to do this?
Yes, sir, I do.
What would you do?
Sir, what I would do is get some leather on the ground, get some intelligence from the local villagers. You have pictures that you can show the local villagers of Osama bin Laden. You trade in the currency of the region. You don't necessarily use money, you use candy bars, cigarettes, the old military currency of stockings for the women. There really hasn't been any ingenuity, I don't think, used in looking for bin Laden. And I can assure you, Mr. Henry, I love my country very much. The other cadets here at Bradley Military Academy love our country very much. Given the chance, I feel that we could neutralize Mr. bin Laden very effectively with nothing more than once we get the information with a pack of Marlboros and some candy. That's what you do.
All right, you're in a military academy, son. We have experienced forces over there. We got men and women who have seen combat.
If you would, first of all, I don't want to be referred to as son. You can refer to me as cadet. You can refer to me as RC.
Why?
Excuse me?
Why don't you want me to call you son?
I think it's condescending.
All right, I don't want to insult you. How old are you?
I'm 17.
That's why I called you son.
All right, sir, you can take son and maybe just put that to the side. I'm cadet or I'm RC.
All right, you're in a military academy, RC. We have experienced forces over there.
Sir, the window of opportunity on an operation like this is generally 6 months, and according to my calendar, we're about 8 months past. And I would think that we would need to pull those guys out of there. That is...
When you say pull the guys out of there, the Rangers...
The Rangers we have there right now, the Special Forces we have there right now, the Delta Force that we have right there, there right now, they've obviously dropped the ball on this. This is no comment on the kind of soldiers they are, but what I'm saying is we need to get some new blood in there. Me and my buddies, we're definitely hoorah, and, you know, I just completed my 12th service badge here at Bradley. We have 1 through 12, and I've completed my 12th.
And when you say a service badge, what is that?
Yes, sir, that's in survival and field weapons training. We spent 2 weeks at the El Capitan campgrounds cataloging edible vegetation. We've had bonfire sings. We cataloged sea life, survival techniques, keeping wild animals at bay with instruments such as flashlights, using dehydrated food, and learning how to purify water. This summer, I'm hopeful to begin basic training with the United States Corps of the Marines. And this entire enterprise in Afghanistan has been good, but we really do need to finish it off.
All right. RC, hold on. I want to give a phone number out here, and if there's people that have would like to comment on what you're saying, they're going to call in, all right?
Yes, sir.
And where are you now?
Sir, I'm over at Wireman Hall. This is our mess hall. So I've just finished dinner.
You guys are eating dinner?
We've just finished up, sir, yes.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is Cadet R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy, who is being very forthcoming when he says that the current troops in Afghanistan have dropped the ball in finding bin Laden, and he feels he's part of the new generation of soldiers who are going to do the job. 1-800-449-8686. R.C., let me say this. You're proposing that your training be sped up so you guys can get into combat sooner because the guys that are over there right now are not doing the job, and you feel you can?
Yes, sir.
You know,
I just think they have to get us into the fight, Mr. Henry. They have to get us ready because the guys over there, and I say this with respect, but they're humping the tail end of a pooch. I mean, we'll get the job done. During our 12 service badge training, a group of us with our academy permission reconned a local neighborhood. We were in night military fatigues. Within 4 hours, we had beaten up 6 kids that we abducted from their homes without the knowledge of their parents and returned them to their homes. I love dogs as much as anyone, Mr. Henry, but training for freedom surpasses sentimentality. That night alone, we dispatched with a .22 rifle 14 dogs, all part of recon training. Now, it ain't pretty, but I think you can see that we have experience with violence, and because the guys over there haven't done the job, we think the people of the United States should recognize our right to use otherwise illegal drugs. You're asking us to undertake a dangerous mission, so we need to be able to relax and use whatever illegal drugs there are because we're going into danger.
All right, this is the thing that you're asking. You think the guys over there are doing a bad job, and as a result, you guys are going to have to be rushed into combat.
Yes, sir.
And you want to have illegal drugs made legal to you?
Yes, sir. One of the things about dealing with the stress before combat is that it is a very, very particular thing. The best way for us to deal with the stress before combat is to utilize some recreational drugs. Otherwise, we get into fights. Sometimes women can get abused or what have you. Making recreational drugs available to us and also allowing us to commit certain breaches of the law, I think is going to be the best way to use our troops, because right now the American people have only got us. The guys over there didn't do it. Bin Laden is still out there. So now our generation of fighting men is going to have to go out there.
And why should we make drugs legal for you guys and allow you to commit felonies when we didn't do it for the other guys?
You want the short answer or the long answer?
Short answer.
We'll get the job done. We're hoorah. We're hoorah. And these guys didn't get the job done.
RC, the question I have for you is very specific, okay?
Yes, sir.
The guys that are over there right now looking for bin Laden haven't found him yet, and you don't think they will?
No, I do not.
And as the result, you think you guys are the ones to find them, but you want legalized drugs, and you want to be able to commit felonies.
Yes, sir, but I don't want people to think that we probably won't commit any crimes. We probably won't. But if we do, in anticipation of combat in Afghanistan, we'd like to have our records expunged. and it's and sponged off. And we also want to be able to use some recreational drugs. Yes, sir.
So you're asking people to suffer crimes at your hands in exchange for the capture of bin Laden?
Well, none of it may be necessary. I mean, and I hope it isn't. But the drugs that we need to allow us to relax before our mission would cause us to assault women or steal things, and we do apologize for whatever inconvenience you suffer. But many of us enjoy hip-hop, and in those songs they sing of a world filled with women, cars, and money, and in some instances violence and drugs. And it's interesting, and we want to experience it.
R.C., you're telling people that if we use you to find bin Laden, you guys may use drugs and go and assault women.
Not necessarily, but there's a possibility. I just want people to be aware of that. Because we need to use the drugs to relax.
Before you go in and get bin Laden.
Yes, sir.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy.
If I could just say, what we do to the economy in terms of our violating the law won't be anywhere near as bad as what bin Laden can do.
All right, R.C. Collins is a military academy cadet. Basically, he has said that the guys in Afghanistan, the special forces, haven't done the job. That the job will now be left to him and his buddies coming out of the military academy. But in order for them to do the job, they want to be able to have it legal to use illegal drugs and to commit felonies in order to unstress before they go to Afghanistan. Do we need a new generation of fighting men in Afghanistan? Have the guys over there not done the job in getting bin Laden? He's still alive. And do we need a new generation of fighting men and women in Iraq? And if so, do we need to give them perks like the use of recreational drugs and the freedom to commit felonies? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
R.C. Collins is a military academy senior cadet. He feels the present generation of Army Rangers and Special Forces are not getting the job done in Afghanistan. He thinks he and his buddies are the next generation. And in order for them to get the job done in Afghanistan, they would like a temporary lifting of any law that would restrict them from committing felonies. Do I have that right?
All I'm saying is that before a soldier goes to war, he wants to hurt people, and if we get into bar fights, or even if we rape a girl, we don't want to go to prison, because that's what a soldier does.
Well, I don't know that, man. I know before a lot of guys got shipped out in World War II, they got into fights, and...
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Zoot Suit Riots was soldiers beating up on Mexicans.
All right, but forget it, man. Those are not exactly... typical soldiers. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm a former Special Forces trooper.
Really?
I pulled three tours in Vietnam. Who? I'm 61 years of age.
Were you in the Army?
I was in the Army Special Forces.
Did
I pulled
guys...
three tours in Vietnam, young man.
I bet you guys rocked and rolled over there.
Young fella, you've got a lot of attitude change before they'll even let you in the service. You will never make it into the armed forces.
Semper Fi.
You're a Semper Fi, my eye. Let me tell you something, young man. You don't get a carte blanche to go out and commit crimes. You've got to keep your nose clean to even get into the service. You don't go in there with a attitude you're going to rape, and you go pillage, and you're going to smoke dope, and you're going to use everything else.
But
you get into combat, young man. You want to stay alert at all times. You die fast.
A soldier's got to be able to unwind before he goes over and kicks some ass.
Where did you ever get this mess from, young man?
Well, remember...
Where did you ever get this idea from?
Well, at World War II time, before the soldiers...
World War II, my eye.
The
war has changed.
They beat up on Mexicans.
Those were soldiers that got court-martialed, too.
Yes, sir. Those were soldiers that got court-martialed. We had some wild guys in Vietnam. They got court-martialed. They came back here in irons. They're in Fort Leavenworth right now.
Well, but don't you think it's no sweat on
no, I do not think
if
so.
If we go out and just rob a liquor store.
Do what?
If we, just to blow off some steam, beat up some Mexicans.
Oh, come on.
What military academy are you in?
I'm in Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California. I'm a senior cadet, sir.
I listened to you. I was coming up the road with my car, coming into my house.
Yes,
sir. And young fella, you've got a lot of growing up to do.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
When you were in the NAM, did you go to brothels in Saigon and places like that?
No, sir.
What do you mean when he was in the NAM?
Well, that's what they call it.
What?
You guys called it the NAM, didn't you?
We call it NAM.
And you guys weren't about to not let some guys get R&R just so some lame ass in from the world could get his beauty sleep, right?
Oh, will you come on, quit and kid, and quit quoting movies?
You've got a romanticized idea or a idiotic idea. I don't know which I would rather phrase it as, of what the military is like.
All I'm saying, sir, before we go over there and neutralize Bin Laden the way he ought to be, we should have a pass on different laws. We could commit a felony and
no, sir.
Take drugs.
No,
and,
sir.
And take drugs, too.
No, sir. No, sir. You have no excuses, no reasons for taking drugs, no reasons, no excuses for committing felonies. If you
sir.
Commit a felony in the first place, you're never going to get in service.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
Are you Johnny Cash?
No, I'm not Johnny Cash.
You sound just like Johnny Cash.
I'm sorry, but I'm no relation to him either.
Sir, which word would you die for, freedom or poontang?
Oh, come on, kid. This is Yes,
where did you get this fellow from?
He's a young man who called from a military academy. You know, there's all kinds of kids out there that want to live the life. They want to be John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? And they're all, you know, they got all kinds of attitudes.
You don't pull pins out of hand grenades with your teeth.
Oh,
John Wayne. I don't know where John Wayne ever got that idea from.
Hey, are you Johnny Cash or Foghorn Leghorn?
All right. Jim, I thank you very much. If you want to screw around, kid.
I've got one thing to say, Phil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God help this country if we got to depend on them to defend us.
Could you sing Ring of Fire?
I saw Ring of Fire.
There,
I have listened to Johnny Cash.
It's Johnny Cash. How's your liver?
Okay, listen, Jim, thank you very much. You're a real smartass. You want to talk about the war in Afghanistan?
Yes, sir.
And you want to make all of your smartass jokes. Meanwhile, you insult every soldier over there. How's your liver?
I'm not trying to insult the soldiers, sir.
Well, you are insulting them by saying that they're screwing the pooch, which is what you said. They haven't gotten Bin Laden, and you and your buddies will go over and take care of Bin Laden, but first you want to make sure that you can commit felonies without going to jail and take drugs.
Sir, all we need is a little bit of downtime.
Downtime's one thing. Smoking dope is something else. 1-800-449-8686. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
I just want to make a quick comment here. I think that young fella there needs to go to a real boot camp, get out of this idealistic world he's in.
Do you
and
think
besides that, why would we go over there and do what he does? We would be no better than he is.
Who?
And if you think you're going to go over and do his tricks and beat him at his own games, buddy, you better go back to school and try it again, because you've done a lot of stuff.
All we got to do is pass around photographs of him to the villagers and say, have you seen this guy lately?
Do you honestly think, you know, I will agree with you on one thing. We are going to have to go in there hand-to-hand. We are going to have to go in there and find him.
Sure.
But Bin Laden right now is nothing. We don't need to worry about Bin Laden. We need to worry about Saddam, because Saddam has been protecting Bin Laden all along. If you're too stupid to figure that out, you better go back to school and try it again, young man, because you ain't got a hope.
Well, wait a second. Was you ever in the military?
No, I was not.
Okay.
My brothers was.
I wasn't.
My daddy was.
I won a 12th service badge. 12th service
Pardon?
Badge. I did survival camp at El Capitan Campground.
It don't matter what you done. Your ideas, your beliefs, you're not in the real world. You're up there somewhere in left field.
Hey, we could find Saddam the same way by passing out pictures to villagers.
Well, if you can find him so good, why don't you go find him then?
We are going,
but
waiting, but the government...
But I tell you what, the day that my tax money goes to pay for you to smoke dope will be the day that I'll go to Washington, D.C., and they'll hear me.
But you got to allow us, because we're ready. We're hoorah. We're ready to die for our country. But first, we want to smoke dope and do heroin.
Well, then do it. But you're not going on my tax dollar.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not fair,
it is,
huh?
Sir. It's my tax dollar that pays it.
What do you mean and you're going to pass out pictures and say, have you seen this guy lately?
Yes, Saddam Hussein.
Sure, that'll work.
That sounds like a...
Ken, I think...
Thank you.
With all due respect...
Thank you. I'm done, sir. I'll say my piece.
I come from a larger city than you do. Yellow.
Yellow.
Well, I do.
Good for you. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins, he is a cadet at a military academy where he believes... Well, he basically believes that since it'll be his generation that has to go get Bin Laden... they'll do it, but they want a little something in return. To be allowed to commit felonies and smoke as many joints as they want, take as many illegal drugs as they want. I'm Phil Hendry.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Pay for the odd nickel bag or the back alley abortion. I think it's worth it to the taxpayers so that we can get Bin Laden.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Cadet R.C. Collins on with us talking about his desire, he and the other cadets, to go and get Bin Laden. But first, there needs to be some concessions. They are allowed to commit felonies and to use illegal drugs. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Oh, give me a break. This is the 2002 equivalent of calling the butcher shop and asking him if he's got pig feet. This kid's not for real. I got a feeling he's a bit, either he's a 12-year-old that his mother let him use a phone, or there's a room full of fraternity guys sitting around with beers laughing their heads off.
Okay, all right, kid, so is that what this is?
No, sir, it is not. No, sir, I am not.
This is not for real.
No, sir. Okay. If you want, I could bring on the commandant of the academy,
who is also named Phil and works at a gas station. Oh, give me a break!
Phil works at a gas station.
This is hilarious.
How dare you?
Okay, kid, I'm going to ask you straight ahead.
Come on. He asked the last caller if he was Johnny Cash. Could he sing Ring of Fire? And how was his liver? I mean, come on. Give me a break. That's
well,
not for real.
You're a smartass, kid, aren't you? You're a smartass, aren't you?
Commandant Wireman?
This is Commandant Wireman. What seems to be the problem? Well, you sorry son of a bitch. You call it my school some fantasy land? Hey.
This is ridiculous.
Are you there?
Okay, who do we have here? Are you the commandant?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, so what did you want to say?
The cadet asked me to get on the line with some guy that thinks our school is a joke.
Yes, no, I think this telephone call is a joke.
You think it's a joke?
Yes.
Cadet Wireman?
Yes, sir.
The guy on the phone's a son of a bitch.
All right, sir, if you want to put down the efforts of young men who want to protect this country, that's your business. But to say that we don't exist, that's like me saying you don't exist. Do you?
Well, I'm talking to you on the phone, and you're talking to me on the phone. But that doesn't mean that you are who you say you are.
Do you think this war on terror is a joke, a kid, whoever you are?
No, sir.
Then are you really who you say you are?
Yes, sir.
Bradley Military Academy.
Yes. What?
And how many students go there other than you and your little sister?
1,300, sir. My little sister,
yeah.
That's very funny, sir.
And are they all do recreational drugs like you?
No, sir, we're demanding the right.
Never do cheap drugs when you're a kid. Oh, this is a
okay.
joke.
Okay, hey, Jim, hold the line because I got a caller here. Sir, you were calling from where?
I'm in Alhambra, Mr. Hendry. I listened to this program
and I agree with this other gentleman on the phone. I think this is an insult to the fighting men and women of our country. I'm a former United States Navy veteran, and to hear our fighting men and women made mockery of by this young man, I think is well beneath the efforts of your program.
Well, I'm trying to deter. No, I don't have to determine. I asked the kid, you're trying to be a smart-ass kid, you're impugning...
The kid is making fun of the Rangers and Special Forces that are in Afghanistan. I think that's way beyond the call of this program. And you agree with me, don't you, Jim?
I think the telephone call is a prank.
Young man, are you there?
Where is the kid? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Are you for real, kid? Yes, sir, I am. I'm for real. And who's this Harvey Wireman jackass?
I'm sorry, what'd you call me?
I called you jackass.
What the hell is this piece of crap laughing at?
I think he's laughing because you guys are the biggest joke. Go to hell.
Well, that went well.
Yeah, that was wild because the whole line is now dead.
I think the telephone call is a prank.
All right, so I have to ask my producer, how did those people get through? Are they going to a school locally? Was that for real? She says she contacted a Bradley Military Academy.
She called them or they called
in? She called them. She called them. What probably happened, Janice, is you got a hold of a guy who does different voices and hosts a radio show. I think what you did was you called me. And I do the voice of RC, and I also did the voice of Wireman, and I did the voice of the other caller. And thank you very much, Jim Sealer. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Bill Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if a guy by the name of Osama bin Laden says, we're going to kill Americans wherever we find them, we're going to do something spectacular that will dwarf 9/11, we're going to do things to damage your economy, and we're going to do things that will bring your morale to rock bottom and that will spiritually bankrupt you, now, do you believe him or don't you? That's question number one. It's a real simple. Do you believe him or don't you? Okay. And then, question number two is, if you believe the guy, what do you do about it? Given the fact that you already have evidence of what he's capable of. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I don't think that Osama bin Laden planned 9/11. I think he provided the training for the scumbags that did it, but I don't think that guy planned, and I don't think he dispatched those agents. I think they were acting independently, which is the way al-Qaeda is structured. Osama bin Laden is a guy who takes credit for every single act against Americans and other allied countries that seem to be successful. He took credit for the oil tanker getting blown up. The French oil tanker took credit for the Bali bombing. The guy even took credit for the Moscow Theater thing, which was a Chechenian rebel caper, right? That nothing to do with a guy. But any time he can appear to be bigger than he is, he will. And by saying, yeah, we did it in Moscow and we did it in Bali, he makes himself look like he is global. Maybe he's not, but supposing he is, supposing people are being inspired by him, what are you going to do about it? What do we do about it as a country? Well, one of the things we can do is to make sure that none of these guys get into the country. Or am I wrong about that? I think maybe I'm right about it. You try to make sure that they don't get into the country. Now, if you got a border like the one we have with Mexico, where people come in virtually unchecked, I mean, even the most liberal person in America would have to agree, people get into the country virtually unchecked. I got nothing against the Mexican people. I love Mexico, and I love the people there, and I hope someday
that country's able to really pull it together, because when they do, they're going to be a formidable nation. But I don't dig the idea of some guy who may look Mexican and actually wraps a towel around his head when he's back home in Saudi Arabia coming across the border there. And they can, and they have. Arabs. I don't know if they're terrorists or not, but they have. So what do you do with a border down there? Well, there's a group of private citizens who are actually patrolling the border now, and they are using rifles, and they are firing those rifles, and I think in some instances they're actually hitting people. And I don't approve of that. I don't agree with it. And I certainly, if these are innocent Mexican nationals that are getting shot down there, it really smacks of Klan. It really smacks of just pure, the pure stench of Klan, which, as anybody with any third grade education in this country knows, is one mighty, powerfully foul odor. However, what's our government doing? Don't we have to put more border guys on? Well, you know, that hasn't worked too good. There's a proposal to use military. We're not sure whether that's legal or not. But the fact is, we have got the resource to protect the border, but we just don't seem to have the will to do it. And I think one of the reasons why we don't have the will to do it is because we think that, you know, that 9/11 is just like an isolated thing, and anybody thinks it's going to happen again is some kind of paranoid crackpot, right? It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It can never happen again, not to us, not to America. And you guys are just paranoid, and you don't get it. You know, you don't get it about the world, right? War never solves anything. Why, going to war will only make things worse. You know who says that? The people who... people tell you that war will only make things worse are the people that don't want to get into war because they're afraid they're going to get their ass kicked. Has nothing to do with whether the war is a good idea. It's just that the guy who says it's a bad idea is afraid that if he gets into the war, he gets his ass kicked. War's a good idea if you win. And war has solved lots of problems. Solved plenty of problems. Solved a lot of problems. It hasn't been pleasant, and it has not been blood-free, and it hasn't been mess-free, and it hasn't always smelled the best, and there's been suffering, and there's been all kinds of mayhem, and there have been civilian death as well as military death, and it's brutal. It's horrible. But sometimes it's the only thing you can bring. It's the only thing you got left to bring. Some people want to be engaged militarily. I'll give you an example. Osama bin Laden. He wants to be engaged militarily. If we ignore him, then he just simply provokes. He'll do something else. He'll blow somebody else up. He'll kill someone else. He'll plot and plan something else. He wants to be engaged militarily. He wants to be a martyr. Osama bin Laden, I don't think he's that stupid, but... well, yeah, I think he is that stupid. I think he thinks he's actually going to get out of this situation in one piece, but he deep down wants to be engaged militarily. So sometimes you just have to pick up a gun. It's a holdover from the post-Vietnam era that war is absolutely, in every single instance, no good. That because Vietnam was a bullcrap war, which it was, by the way, that therefore all war is wrong. And anyone who is a student of history knows that that's simply not the case. War has liberated people. War has instituted justice where there was none. War has removed evil. War has, in addition to killing a lot of innocent people, has killed many of the guilty. War has purified, in many instances, stale and static and rancid situations in continents that have been hanging on to the same old archetypes for centuries. Europe is a good example. We had to turn Europe into a graveyard over the last 100 years to bring them up to speed on what's going on with the rest of the world. To literally modernize that continent, it had to be decimated. To get rid of the monarchies and the old notions of nationalist dictatorships, which Europe was thriving on for centuries, we had to basically go over there and burn it down. That's how foul and stench-ridden that continent had gotten. Now guess what?
Got another situation in the Middle East. The Muslim faith, by the way, just so you guys know, the Muslim faith right now is where Christianity was 500 years ago. And maybe that'll help you understand a few things. Christianity 500 years ago, and let's push it back another 200 years to the 14th century. Christianity in the 14th century was what Islam is today. It was a violent religion that spread and proselytized violently. The Crusades, which the Muslims and all the towel wrappers continually reference, the Crusades were an example of that. It was a war brought on the Muslim nations by the Christian nations. But 700 years ago, Christianity was exactly what the Muslim nations of the world are today. Medieval, dictatorial, feudalistic, theocratic, regressive, ignorant, and in some ways culturally enlightened. Some ways. We were beginning to get our act together in terms of learning and education. There were universities that were beginning, but not enough. That's exactly where Islam is today. Now, you got to ask me this question. Hey, Phil, how come Christianity developed a lot quicker? Like, in 2,000 years, Christian nations are relatively hip and democratic. The religion itself keeps going through all kinds of violent contortions, but the Christian nations are relatively democratic and sort of like they don't get too upset if you don't practice their faith. Now, how come they've developed that way in 2,000 years, and it's taken the Muslims 1,600 years to get to where we were 700 years ago? See what I'm saying? It's because Muslim societies and Muslim culture has been involved in a colonialist and a foreign interventionist status. In other words, those countries haven't been allowed to develop on their own. Every time they try to get their act together, they're invaded. Every time they try to pull their head out of their ass, they're invaded by a few more. They got the British, and they got the French, and then they got the Americans. They're colonized. The same thing that happened to Africa during the slave trading period. Africa was on the verge of beginning to break free of its old monarchies and move into a more egalitarian society. One thing happened to Africa. It was called the slave trade. It destroyed that continent. It destroyed the social progression of that continent. Destroyed it. And it's only now that they're beginning to pull themselves out of it. Islam has Islam exists today as a violent medieval religion because the Mideastern countries have not developed normally. They are still dictatorial, theocratic entities, impoverished to a degree, run by dictatorial theocrats or secular dictators. And today what you're seeing of the Islamic faith is exactly what you would have seen of the Christian faith 700 years ago, when everything we did to further the growth of Christianity was violent, murderous, self-righteous as hell, narcissistic as all hell, and essentially a religion that really had to grow up. And over the last 7 years, Christianity is slowly but surely growing up. That's why it is kind of a cool religion in that it does keep its eyes open. It's got to get the crap kicked out of it occasionally. You know, we occasionally just got to beat that whole evolution thing into them. You know, look, when you get off the whole monkey thing, it's not degrading you. Everything's going to be fine. But Christianity does exist and flourish rather well in democratic countries. I think Islam will be able to do the same thing. But first, the societies that Islam exists in have got to grow out of that whole feudal dictatorial mindset. And one of the ways it'll do it is if Europe and America and all the other countries get the hell out of there and get the hell out of the way. I don't know how we can do it. I frankly don't know how. For some reason, the Arab people, the Middle Eastern people, see Israel as sort of a symbol of the thing that's dragged their cultures down, which is a sort of a European presence. But Israel wants to work with them. They're too stupid to see it. They're medieval right now, man. They might as well be beating themselves and wearing sackcloth and ashes. They might as well be looking at the moon and thinking it's only a mile away. I mean, that's where their heads are at right now. It's wild, baby.
It's wild.
I'm Jed Clampett. Get them off.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.